So let's spend the rest of the time talking about your cases, beginning with your 46-year-old man.
So the first case, this is a 46-year-old fellow who had a cecal primary and a lot of nodal disease in the retroperitoneum and supraclavicular area. That's kind of unusual to have no dominant disease in colon cancer. But he had no apparent visceral metastases. So the issue, of course, is in these patients, do you take the primary route? In somebody who's got this kind of bulky disease, we typically wouldn't. He was started in the community on FOLFOX-BEV, which is what 75% of the oncologists use for frontline colon cancer. He came to see us, and this is an example we talked earlier. This is a right-sided cancer, sort of weird behavior. This is a patient I recommended that they go to FOLFOXIRI-BEV, which they did, and we got our molecular test done. And it turns out that this was a patient who had MLH1 deficiency, which is to say he was MSI high. Otherwise, everything was wild type. So this was a difficult case because here you've got a patient, you're given aggressive chemotherapy, and you know you might jump in with a checkpoint inhibitor at some point. In fact, now there are checkpoint inhibitors that will be in frontline studies. So the challenge in this patient was how long do you treat with the current chemotherapy and when do you jump in with the checkpoint inhibitor? And our approach in a patient like this is to get as much mileage out of standard chemotherapy as we can. Mind you, not everybody responds to the checkpoint inhibitors, even if they're MSI high. So I think this is one of the reasons you want to look, get early information on the molecular features of the cancer. And again, a right-sided cancer is likelier to be MSI high and BRAF mutant as well. And MSI high and BRAF mutations overlap about 25 or 30%. And those are patients whom the BRAF may be sort of an aberration. So this is an example of the patient we would continue aggressive therapy and then take the first opportunity to use the checkpoint inhibitor. And as you know, this is sort of unprecedented. I believe MSI high patients are the only circumstance where drugs are approved based on molecular features and not and agnostic to the site of origin of the cancer. So this is why it's really important in right-sided patients, especially with bad acting disease, to really figure out what the molecular features are.
So just out of curiosity, again, outside a trial setting, or maybe you can tell me what kind of trial, if you had seen this patient up front and known he was MSI high from the beginning, what would you have done treatment-wise, or would there be a trial you would have put him in?
You know, that's a really good question. At this moment, there's not a trial available yet. They're sort of working their way through the regulatory situation. We don't have one, at least. I think there may be one industry study. It's a tough call. We give patients the option. Most patients, interestingly enough, opt for chemotherapy. We've had half a dozen patients like this. Most of them opt for chemotherapy, and then we may jump in later on, especially with somebody with a big, bulky disease. You worry that if you don't get on top of it, you may lose a patient. But I could see a time not too far away where we might start with a checkpoint inhibitor, and if it doesn't work, then go to chemotherapy. You know, one of the dilemmas with immunotherapies is it's hard to know if it's working or not. And although it's more so with the anti-CTLA-4 and other immune modulators, you worry about sort of pseudo-progression or delayed response. And in a patient with bulky disease, you worry whether you have the luxury of waiting 3-4 months to see if the treatment works. So we tend to still lean with chemotherapy. Again, the studies now are starting to combine chemotherapy and checkpoint inhibitors. And there's no reason we shouldn't do that. I think companies, sponsors were afraid, well, chemotherapy may interfere with the immune system. If anything, I think chemotherapy could augment the effects of the checkpoint inhibitors. And so in combination may ultimately be where we get to, but that's going to take a while.
And of course, much to a lot of people's surprise, actually the combination of chemotherapy and a checkpoint inhibitor, pembrolizumab, was actually approved in lung cancer, non-squamous disease.
Correct.
And a lot of people are using it. There's a lot of debate and controversy about it. This man actually, because he'd already gotten started on treatment, you switched him to FOLFOXIRI-BEV, I guess because of the location of the primary being right-sided. But even though he's 46 years old, it looks like he had some problems with that.
Yeah, so the FOLFOXIRI-BEV is not easy, and this patient got neutropenic fever and I think had a 4 or 5 day hospitalization. Again, he was cared for in the community, so as it was reported, ultimately he came back and we put him on pembrolizumab just at the time because he also was losing weight. He didn't look so good. He'd responded, actually, but the chemotherapy had beaten him up. And he's actually done remarkably well on the pembro. I mean, he had a good response, and it's augmented the response so far. We're not far enough into it to know how he's going to do long-term, but he's done very, very well.